And so that's what we want to look at, what the resurrection means to us, and it's that's what today is all about, and that's really what we celebrate every Sunday. But sometimes it becomes just this kind of theological concept that we know in the back of our mind is true, but we don't really appreciate what it actually means to us. And so just want to share thoughts, just seven thoughts really, on what the resurrection means to us. So let's just pray, and then we'll get right into that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this time, and we just pray bless as we look in your word this evening. Just pray it can be a blessing to all that are tuning in at this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so again, there's nothing too fancy, but just wanted to share seven thoughts of what the resurrection means to us. And so, first off, the resurrection, by the resurrection, Jesus has forever proven himself to be the Son of God. We see that in Romans chapter 1. Speaking of verses 3 and 4, it says, concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And so you really think about it, that Jesus, during his life, during his time of teaching, he very clearly and plainly declared himself to be the Son of God, declared himself to have come from God, that he was God come in the flesh. And of course, many people refused to believe that. That's part of the reason why the scribes and the Pharisees turned against him and wanted him crucified, because they figured he was guilty of blasphemy. And of course, anybody can make wild claims, but to be able to prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's one thing, another thing entirely. And that's exactly what he did. By rising from the dead, he proved that he was the Son of God. He proved that he was, everything that he said of himself was true. And so that's really, when we think of the resurrection, that it's all the proof we need that he is who he is. And so that really causes us to look at him and accept what he has to say, and of course recognize him as God. He's not just a teacher, not just a good man, that he was God come in the flesh, and he proved that by rising from the dead. But secondly, we know that by the resurrection, that Jesus' sacrifice for our sins was accepted by God the Father. We think in the Old Testament times that they had a day in the year called the Day of Atonement. And the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle or the temple to give an offering each year to atone for the sins of the people. And the way it was is no one was allowed in there. Inside that Holy of Holies was the Ark of God, Ark of the Covenant, that represented God's very presence. And the thing was is that the priest was sent in there, and on around the hem of his robes that he wore, he had these little bells and then pomegranates. And so it would either jingle or rattle. And so nobody else could go in there, but they would be able to hear him moving around. And tradition tells us that they actually tied a rope to his leg as he went in. And the whole idea is he went in, and it was only if he came out that they'd know that the sacrifice was acceptable. And it's kind of the thing, if nothing was happening and they listened and they didn't hear any jingling of bells or a rattling of the pomegranates, and they're like, okay, it's not acceptable, he's dead. So then they would start tugging him out. And that's the thing, it just is a sign of God being holy, that we're being sinful, and that this is a serious thing, and that the sacrifice, if it's not acceptable, it could mean death for the one that offered it. And so we think with Jesus that he was making a sacrifice for our sins. And so if he had simply died and not risen from the dead, then we would never know for sure that what he did was acceptable. If he wasn't found to be without sin, if he had done some kind of sin in his life, then he wouldn't be able to be our substitute sin bearer, and his death would have just been it. But the fact is that he was raised from the dead. And of course, as we see, that as he purged our sins, that he rose from the dead, is now seated on the right hand of the Father in a place of honor and glory. And so we realize that, yes, absolutely, it was acceptable. And so we can be certain of that, that when we put our faith and trust in him, that we know that our sins are forgiven and cleansed away for certain. Thirdly, because of his resurrection, we know that Jesus continues to serve as our great high priest and our intercessor. That speaks in 1 Timothy chapter 2, there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And we see, especially as you look into Hebrews chapter 7, chapter 9, there's a lot that talks about the Lord Jesus, how he is our great high priest, and that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And and the thing was is that because the way it was in times past, that the priests always had passed to the next person in the line, because they could only serve as priests as long as they are alive. But of course it says of Jesus, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." And so that's the blessing that we have, that we know that Jesus is interceding on our behalf at the throne of the Father, that he is our mediator. Through him we are reconciled to the Father, and we have that relationship with him. And so we appreciate that. And we realize that he offered himself once, and that was satisfactory, but he still serves as that mediator that we need. And that's the blessing that we know, is that we don't need any other mediator than him. That we don't have to go through someone in order to have a relationship with God. That you don't have to come through me to get to God. You can pray and seek God yourself. That it's because of what Jesus did, that he's the only one we have to go through to commune with God. And it's a blessing we see in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And so we can think of it in that way and rejoice in that he is our high priest, that he's praying for us, he knows our struggles and is our advocate at the Father's right hand. But as well, we can also know that because of the resurrection, our faith, our preaching, and our work in the Lord is not in vain. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Paul makes various statements we look at as being in the negative, and just what would be the situation if Christ was not risen from the dead. We see verse 14, it says, "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." We see again in verse number 17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in our sins." That our whole belief system would be vanity, it would be emptiness, it would be of no value to us at all if Christ was not risen from the dead. But we see in verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." And so we recognize because he is risen from the dead, then we know our faith is not in vain. That our preaching of the cross, even though to some they look at it as being foolishness, we know that it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. And so we can preach, and we know God's word will not return to him void, that as we share it, that it will be like planting seed, and that's going to bear fruit in people's lives in time to come. And so we can rejoice in that. And we see 1 Corinthians 15 concludes with the statement, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's the thing, is it? Because of his resurrection, that we know that our labor is not in vain, that it is going to be worthwhile. It's going to count for something throughout eternity. And so as well, we recognize that because of the resurrection, we can live in hope and victory. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we read this morning, but I just wanted to read it again. Which says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And so that's the thing, is that we can live in hope because of the resurrection. There is hope for the future, there's hope for eternity, that all comes because Jesus was able to conquer death itself. And we recognize too that not only can we live in hope, we can also live in victory, that we don't have to go through this life being defeated, that we know that because of the resurrection, if Jesus was able to defeat death itself, then we know that he can give us victory. It speaks about that of how it talks the idea that death is swallowed up in victory. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's the thing, is that we have struggles that threaten to overwhelm us in life all the time. But we know because of the resurrection that we can have victory. If he can defeat death, he can defeat the devil, he can help us to have victory and defeat these different things that threaten us. And it's interesting, we see in Ephesians chapter 1, this prayer that Paul has for the Ephesians, beginning of verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And so it's the idea is that he's saying to us that because of the resurrection, that and all that's happened, of course, when we trust in Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And with the Holy Spirit comes his power. We think of that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And it's saying in here that the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And so this is the thought, that the same power whereby God raised his son from the dead is the same power that is within us. And so when we have different struggles and challenges with bad habits and other things, that we don't have to have a defeatist attitude, that we think, "I've struggled with this, I'll always struggle with this, there's no way I can ever really get victory over this," that we realize that God has given me that power within through the Holy Spirit. And as I seek him, as I learn to walk in the Spirit, yield to the Spirit, that power can flow through me so that I can have victory. And so we rejoice in that truth. Just two more thoughts before we conclude. Next we have because of the resurrection that all of us that have trusted in Christ have the future promise of a physical resurrection. But that's something that we look ahead towards. That our bodies, of course, are getting old and decaying, and they're not. The older we get, the less they work the way they should. And there is a promise of the resurrection in time to come. And so we see that it's because of Christ was raised. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he was the first fruits of the resurrection. It says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so all that are in Christ that have trusted in him will be made alive. And it talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15, 51. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And so one day, we know by faith that we are going to stand in these new bodies, where they don't feel pain, don't feel sickness anymore, and that's a promise that we have, and we can know that will come because Christ was a resurrection. That he says, okay, I raised myself up, I'm going to raise all that believe in me up as well, resurrection unto life. And we think in John 11:25 that Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And so we rejoice in that he is the resurrection. And he said in John chapter 14, in verse 9, that's not the right verse, but he says, because I live, ye shall live also. And we can rejoice in that knowledge that he will raise us up from the dead in time to come. But it's kind of the thought that we sometimes have that it's like, well, okay, I've got that hope and that promise of a resurrection in the future, and that sounds really good, but how does that help me now? And practically with the resurrection, we can have these kind of theological thoughts, all of them that are valuable when we apply them to our life. But we want to really bring it down practically. In the present day, what I'm dealing with, what does the resurrection mean to me? How does it make a difference? And we want to understand the truth that God has given us a promise of a future physical resurrection. But we ought to understand that because of Christ being raised from the dead, that we have now a present hope of a spiritual resurrection. That we see a statement made in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Where he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And so that's that question. If we are risen with Christ, then we should seek heavenly things, not the things of this earth. And so that gives us thinking, how are we risen with Christ? Is that the case of who we are? And we understand from the scriptures that's exactly who we are. That it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2 of how it says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That we were dead in our sins before. And of course in the Bible, death speaks of separation. That we are separated from God. That we were separated from the one that was the source of life. And because of what he did for us, that it speaks verse 4, but God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. by grace you're saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That he has raised us up together with him. And it's talking about spiritually. That really, you could think of it, the physical resurrection in the future is just basically a bringing to fruition of the spiritual resurrection that happens to all of us when we first trust Christ as our Savior. And this is what we can experience in our lives. Romans chapter 6 speaks of this probably the clearest of all. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It says, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so it's the idea is that, and that's the picture that baptism gives when we're placed under the water and then brought back up. That it's spiritually what has happened, that we become dead unto our sins, just as Christ died and was buried, but now we're risen now to walk in newness of life. That we're, it's the idea that we're to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That we don't continue to yield to sin, instead that we yield ourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead. And so that's the thought, is that really we want to grasp, is that because of Christ's resurrection, as we trust in him by faith in his death and resurrection for our salvation, that is what we can experience practically as a spiritual resurrection, where we're reconnected with God, where the Spirit of God comes and lives within us, and we don't have to continue in sin. We don't have to be in bondage to it and continue on in its self-destructive path in our life. That instead, that we can be able to have victory, that we can resist it. And that instead we can start doing right and making right choices and getting victory over these bad habits that we have. And so we want to think of that and realize practically of just the value of his resurrection. And so, again, it's not anything super fancy, but I just wanted to share those seven thoughts. It's something you can meditate on maybe through the week and just have a renewed appreciation for the resurrection. It's not just some kind of cold, boring theological concept or anything like that. That it is life to us. And that when we live by faith in the light of God's truth, that it is life-giving and life-changing. And so my prayer is that you do know Christ as your Savior. And if you don't, I'd be glad to kind of help you sort that out. But I think for all of us that have made that decision, that are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, that I pray that this can be a help to you and encouragement, that just you would just appreciate all the more what Christ has accomplished for us. So that brings us to the end of my talk for tonight.